I've learned a lot about three things this year: comparison, pride, and insecurity. Learned a lot about those things this year. I came into a role this year at this church that was not what my role used to be. Previously, I was an area director for K-Life Ministries for 3 years, and I thought that I had to come into Watermark and fulfill that type of role and be that kind of person in ministry, and quickly began to realize through much needed conversations with people here at this church who were gracious enough to sit down with me and tell me how it was, that I'm not naturally gifted as a directional leader within a ministry context. And gang, that was really hard for me initially to swallow, that because that was what I was being told I was supposed to be for 3 years in a row. And looking back, and as we talked about it, and I learned more about what that looked like, I looked back at those 3 years and I said, you know what? I'm kind of starting to see what they're talking about. It wasn't against my character necessarily. It wasn't against the person who I was. It was more of just, how are you best gifted, most gifted, and where can we apply that? And what type of role does that look like for you? And so as a resident in student ministries this year, I've had to transition out of a directional leadership type of role where I was overseeing a ministry for kids and college students, and come into this and to be vulnerable with you, okay? I'm working alongside guys who are younger than me, and I'm underneath them on the organizational chart, within this church. I'm having to work under Harrison and Jason, who are actually younger than I am. And so just being vulnerable, and we've had multiple conversations about this, so that they're not unaware of something I'm saying right now. And it's been really neat to see how God has revealed to me that from the very beginning of the year, I was confronted with this whole comparison and pride and insecurity piece. You ever wrestled with those things before? Have you ever thought to yourself, man, this is wearing me out? Like that lady said on the video, I'm tired of looking at magazines and looking on TV at women who I think are skinnier than me. Or looking at other married couples who seem to have it all together, and I know back at home, my husband and I aren't doing well. Or to look, maybe for you guys, maybe you get on Instagram. Girls, let me speak to you for a second. Maybe you get on Instagram and you see a picture that another girl has posted, and maybe she's wearing some, you can tell, most girls can probably tell this better than guys, maybe the kind of makeup she's wearing. Wow, that's really expensive makeup. How can she afford that? I wish I could. It really looks good on her. I wish I could wear that makeup. Or, wow, she bought that shirt? I know exactly where that shirt is, and I've been wanting that shirt. Why can't I have that shirt? Mom, Dad, I need that shirt so I can look good to other people. Guys, maybe for you, it's you get on Instagram, and maybe it's you see a picture of a buddy of yours that you know pretty well. You guys are friends. You get along. He's got a brand new pair of Beats headphones. How could he afford? Okay, I know how much money. Like, he's not making, like, his parents aren't making, like, tons of money. How does he afford Beats headphones? As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that's his third pair of new Beats headphones. Or take this for example. Okay, that girl just bought brand new iPhone case. Really? Not that big of a deal, right? Just a case, but really it is a big deal. It's sparkling, it's got cool colors. I like that. I want that. Why don't I have that? Guys, some of you, not all of you, but some of you, may be sitting there and you're thinking about the choices you're making and the stuff you're posting on Instagram. Maybe there's a girl you like. So you get in this texting conversation with this girl, and you want the rest of the world to know that you are currently texting this girl. And so you post an Instagram picture of that texting conversation. I want everybody to see that that's the girl that I'm talking to. Girls, it may be the same thing for you with guys. You may have a crush on a guy and you want everybody else to know and you want your friends to be jealous. Comparison, pride, insecurity. What those things do, and Instagram is just an example, one of many. But what those things I think do, and I myself am on Instagram, so I'm not necessarily bashing on it completely, but what this looks like for me and how this creates insecurity in my life and pride and comparison in my life, I have an Instagram account. And one of the things I love to use it for is I love to post pictures of my family, my daughter, my wife, so that family who's far away back in Tennessee and friends can kind of keep up to date on what's going on in our life. And you know, sometimes I'll, being a dad and a husband now, and I'll see my friends who are buying homes for the first time. That's what I would love to do right now. Just don't have the money yet to do that. And so I fight the insecurity. I realize that my security is becoming found in money and what kind of house I can buy rather than Jesus and where I'm at right now and being content and where the Lord has me and has us as a family. I can see a picture of a guy who has built, a husband and a father, who's built by hand, handcrafted, a big, nice, dark wooden kitchen table for his family. He's built it by hand, and I can look at that and I can say, I can beat myself up. Man, I haven't done that yet. I don't even know if I could do it by myself. I don't know if I know how. You know what I'm doing? You know what that is? That takes me facing my pride and acknowledging the fact that I maybe don't know how to do that, and I need some help doing that. Comparison, pride, insecurity. The lady on the video said, annoying little gnats. All those gnats flying around her. Annoying little gnats. I'm tired of comparing. I'm tired of feeling insecure. Tired of being prideful because I know it's not okay. Y'all, we got to be aware of those things and we have to wage war against those things. And how we do that is having a good biblical perspective of how God views us as his children and those around us also as his children. Luke 18:9-13. This passage of scripture, this story, it's a parable. Okay, so Jesus told parables back in the day, and these were stories he used to illustrate or make a point. Okay, so this is Luke 18:9-13, and this is about a Pharisee and a tax collector. This is what it says. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes up to heaven. But he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So here's the story. You've got a Pharisee and you've got a tax collector. Two people who back in the day did not like each other. Pharisee, even though he was a sinner, because for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, viewed himself more self-righteous than the tax collector, because the tax collector was hated by everyone because all he did was he asked people for money. And he took money from people. And so they walk into the temple at the same time, and the Pharisee goes over here and the tax collector goes over here, and the Pharisee approaches God and he says, God, thank goodness I'm not like that guy over there. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. I'm not like the unjust or that tax collector guy over there. No one likes him. Everyone likes me because I've done good things to earn your favor and to stand righteous before you. And then you have the tax collector over here. He was standing far off, would not even lift his eyes up to heaven. But he beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. I tell you, and this is Jesus speaking. I tell you, this man went down to his house, as in the tax collector. He went down to his house justified or made right before God rather than the other Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself, like the tax collector, will be exalted. How do we see comparison? You know, we're talking about comparison, pride, and insecurity. How do we see comparison in this parable? You know, these Pharisees that addressed, that Jesus was addressing, all right, there was a group of Pharisees, and he told a story of one in particular so that these Pharisees he was talking to could relate and understand what he was talking about. He approached God with an unrealistic sense of his self-worth. He was falsely confident of his own righteousness that he had built up for himself by doing good things. And he was treating the tax collector with contempt. Man, God, thank you so much that I'm not like that Joe Schmo over there. I've got it all together. I've done good things, and all he's done is ask people for money and taken it from them. Cross-reference for that is Matthew 7:1-5. Matthew 7:1-5, and this is what it says. Judge not that you not be judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, where there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. There's a big difference between a speck and a log. A speck of wood and a big old log. And what this Pharisee was doing, and what I think this passage is telling us, is that, hey, we do not need to be quick to judge someone else before we look at our hearts, before we consider our sin, before we consider the fact that we are not worthy. We're not worthy to lift our eyes up to heaven because we are sinners and we need God's mercy first and foremost. And what the Pharisee was doing was that he was trying to take care of the speck that was in the tax collector's eye rather than focusing on the log in his own eye, than taking care of himself and recognizing his own sin first and foremost. How do we see pride in this parable? You know, as I was reading through this passage in Luke 18, I noticed that the Pharisee, he said the word I, like capital letter I, referring to himself, 5 times in that one little verse, or 2 little verses. And I kind of just refer to it as the things I do. We kind of build up as human beings here on this earth, and as sometimes as followers of Jesus, we build this list of the things I do versus the things I do not do list, right? So we got the things that we know we're supposed to do and the things that we know we're not supposed to do. And then off of that, we base our righteousness before God. The Pharisee says the word I 5 times. That's pretty egocentric, if you ask me. How much do you talk about yourself? How much do you refer to what you do and what you can do and what you want to do and what you need, you think you need? How much do we, how much do I talk about myself? In my friend circles, in my community group, here at Wake, for you it may be school, sports, just hanging out on the weekends, friends' houses. How much do you talk about yourself? Be careful, gang. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Matthew 5, 1 through 3, Jesus was speaking the Sermon on the Mount, and he was speaking to the crowds. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The Pharisee was not poor in spirit. And what I mean by poor in spirit is he did not reveal a dependence upon God because he could not see his own sin. He could not recognize that he cannot build up his own self-righteousness. And insecurity plays itself out in the fact that I would go as far as to say that the Pharisee dealt with a level of insecurity deep down within himself, because he felt like he had to create this list of things to earn God's favor rather than acknowledging the fact that he's broken, he's poor in spirit, and he needs a Savior. He needs God. So what was wrong about the Pharisee's approach was that the Pharisee approached God with an unrealistic sense of self-worth and confident of his own self-righteousness. Therefore, he was prideful. And what was right about the tax collector's approach to God was that he acknowledged that he was unworthy, acknowledged that he was a sinner, and that he needed God's mercy. He was broken over his sin. I wrestle with those things, but I'm free from the bondage of them. You see the difference there? I wrestle, like I said at the beginning, with those things, but I'm free from the bondage. I'm not locked and tied down to them. I will have moments where I can begin to compare myself through seeing things on Instagram and having conversations with people who are at a place that I would rather be, maybe. But then I have to bring myself back to Scripture. And what Scripture is encouraging me to do is three things, I think. Is to have a realistic sense of my self-worth, to know how much God loves me and what He did for me. To know His Word and to know what it says about that. And that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Number two is not to show contempt towards others. In other words, knowing how much God loves the people around you. Someone may have hurt you. You could be sitting real close to a person right now who's hurt you in the past. Believe it or not, God loves them the same that He loves you. And number three, hating your sin, but not hating yourself. Hating your sin, but not hating yourself. The tax collector acknowledged that he was broken, acknowledged he was a sinner in need of God's mercy, and he was forgiven. Hating your sin and not yourself. In moments of wanting to compare and be prideful and feeling insecure, recognizing that. God hates your sin, and this is tossed around a lot, but He loves the sinner. He wants your heart. Gang, we're talking about a series in the coming weeks, the rest of our time together, and it's called Choices. And in these moments where you could be tempted to compare and tempted to become prideful about what you have or what you look like or whatever it may be, and then you start feeling insecure because you don't look like that person or you don't have what they have, make a choice to remember those three things and to go to a passage like Luke 18. Remember John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Know that you were created in your mother's womb. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You guys are being exposed and told by the world right now as 6th, 7th, and 8th graders that you have to be a certain person in order for God to love you, and that's not the case. You got to be a broken person who recognizes that they need Jesus and that He's the only answer to the forgiveness for their sin. Let me pray. God, thanks so much for sending Your Son to die on a cross. Lord, Jesus is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He's not unable to sympathize with our comparison issues and our pride issues and our insecure feelings. But Lord, He was eternally, for a time, temporarily separated from His eternal unity with the Father, and I can't even imagine the pain that brought to Him. emotionally, spiritually, physically. We know that for sure. God, I pray in those moments of being tempted by those things that we would look to God's word, that we look to your word, we look to Jesus, we look to the cross, and remember that our identity is found in him and that forgiveness of our sins is found in him. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.